travel in the snow. Last week we started on the healing process and healing, if it's God's will or not. And how come that's so important is because so many believers are not healed. And that's a real big issue today. A lot of believers are not healed. And one of the main reasons believers are not healed is because they're not taught. You believe what you're taught. And the difficulty is when a believer is not taught, then they actually are missing a whole element of their covenant right. And that's sad. You know, it's like having a full bank, but you don't have the bank numbers. You know, there's a need to make sure that you know what you believe. And last week we started going through the process of the blood and the body, talking about the covenant. There are three elements to your covenant. Number one, the blood. What does the blood represent? What's the blood represent? Forgiveness. What's the body represent? Healing. And then the last part of the covenant is the destruction of poverty in your life. These three things are what God has sent Jesus to accomplish on Calvary's tree. The problem is that most churches only preach one element of it. They only preach the blood, which is the forgiveness of sins. They have actually taken such a turn away from healing that many pastors are now saying it's not always God's will to heal. They're teaching that from the pulpit. In fact, my mother and my stepfather were part of a church in New Hampshire. And I went in and had preached, man of God, I went in and had preached a whole series on healing at that church. And we had people healed in the church. The next week, the preacher stood up and started preaching against what I preached all that time. He said, it is not always God's will to heal. He said, it is God that puts sickness on people to teach you certain things. And I want you to know today that the preachers of America, in fact, sadly enough, we are the only church in this region that preaches it's always God's will to heal. And I don't preach that because it's a nice little philosophy to grab a hold of. I preach that because that is the word of God. And anybody who preaches different from that, the difficulty is they're putting more faith in an experience and a religion than they are the word of God. Now that causes problems, doesn't it? That means we're writing our own Bible. And last I knew, none of us were God. Is that a good thing? I mean, did anybody hear God? I mean, we had somebody on Sunday who thought they were God. No, we did. We had somebody about 4 weeks ago that said they were God. You know, people think they're God. I mean, if you think you're God, you're just wrong. But the issue is that if we determine that we are going to write our own Bible, then we are saying we are God. And we've got to get back to what the scripture says. Remember, this is our constitution. This is our right, our rule, our regulation from the kingdom of God. And God's kingdom, there are certain things that are gray matter that don't matter. Like, are the seven stars angels, or the seven angels, are they actual angels, or are they the Holy Spirit represented in Isaiah 11? Now you're saying, what are you talking about? Well, I just taught a class on Revelations today. And that was one of the statements. Well, that's gray matter. We'll never actually ever really, really, really know because it's not defined in the scripture. But there are certain things that are defined in the scripture. There is a leading edge to it. You cannot turn to the right or the left unless you're going to twist, contort, or walk away from the scripture. And healing is one of those principles. You cannot separate the blood and the body from each other, ever. There's no place in the scripture that you can do that. So we've talked about Exodus chapter 12, you see the blood and the body. Exodus chapter 15, verse 26, you see that God says, by nature, I am the God that healeth thee. His nature is Rapha, R-A-P-H-A. That is the nature which means healing. That means total wholeness, nothing missing, nothing lacking, nothing broken. We then get into Psalms 105 that again gets back to Exodus chapter 12 about the exodus out of Egypt, that he says, and they left with the silver and gold of the Egyptians, and there was not one feeble among the tribes, which means there was not one sick person amongst 2.5 million people. That's a lot of people. That's grandmas, that's babies, that's uncles, that's aunts, that's siblings. I mean, that's kids that are teething even. There was not one sick among the tribes, not even their animals. We then get to Psalms 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all of his benefits, who forgives all of our sins and heals some of our diseases. All. Oh, I'm sorry. The word all is there, right? How many is all? Oh, but, you know, AIDS is too hard. God can't do AIDS. You know, cancer is too big. God can't do cancer. Well, you know, I've got the diabetes. You know, God can't take care of the diabetes. Well, you know, I've got hemorrhoids. God can't take care of hemorrhoids. If you actually study hemorrhoids, hemorrhoids are part of the curse of Deuteronomy 28. So if you have hemorrhoids, then you need to rebuke the curse, because that's not part of you. Jesus became a curse so that we don't have to participate with the curse in Galatians chapter 3. So here we are. There's so many believers that have accepted and received the bill of sickness. And it's not that we are not going to get sick. Not that sickness isn't going to come and knock on our door, just like we'll be deceived if we don't believe sin will come knock on our door. Sin will come knock on our door too. But the wages of sin is death. So what do you decide to do? Well, I choose not to sin. Sickness is going to knock on your door too. So what do you got to do? You've got to decide the very same thing. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all of his benefits. What's a benefit? That is something that has already been purchased for you, that is yours, that you can lay hold of. The benefits are he forgives every sin and heals every single disease. Isaiah chapter 53, who will believe the report of the Lord? See, there are two reports, the report of the flesh and the report of the spirit. What's the report of the flesh? And that is maybe the doctor came and said that you're not going to make it, or maybe there's a sin that you think is too strong for you. Whose report will you believe? Well, I believe the report of the Lord. What's the report of the Lord say? The report of the Lord says that he took all of my griefs and he took all of my sorrows. He took upon him. He bore them. What's the word bore? It means it came upon him. It means he took it from you and put it on himself. What is the word griefs? Sicknesses. What is the word sorrows? Physical and emotional sickness. Jesus took it all. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. He said that in the old covenant because God by nature is Jehovah Rapha. Now, why am I going fast? Because we've already covered this. I'm just going to sweep it through. Is that all right? I'm going to sweep through all the verses. Matthew chapter 8, verse 17 also makes the declaration that he was wounded for our transgressions, that sickness was put upon him. We also see it in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 when we take communion. How many of you have taken communion? You take a nasty little wafer. Aren't they nasty? They're just gross little wafers. We still don't know what they are. We take them by faith. We take that little wafer, which represents the body, which represents healing. And we take the cup, which represents forgiveness. Blood and body, blood and body. Exodus 12, Psalms 103, Psalms 107. He sent his word to heal us, Rapha, that God sent Jesus. Who is Jesus? Jesus is the Son of God, but not only that, he is the word that became flesh and dwelt among us. We can actually eat. Jesus said, if you want to partake of me, you must eat of my flesh and drink of my blood. What is he talking about? He was talking about the spiritual principles. And the spiritual principles, you cannot separate blood and body. Blood, if you believe it's God's will to forgive, you've got to believe it's always God's will to heal. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24 is the same verse that's found in Isaiah chapter 53, verses 4 through 6. And he says that he took on our sin and he and by his stripes we were healed. The tense changed. What's the tense that changed? Isaiah 53 is you are healed, or, you know, that you are healed, the nature of God. The tense that's found in Peter is by his stripes you were healed, past tense, because at that point Jesus had already died, he had already risen from the dead, and the covenant, according to Hebrews chapter 8, verse 6, that Jesus is a mediator of a new and a better covenant with better promises. Well, what is that? The first covenant had problems. The first covenant was not well put together. So God put together a better covenant through Jesus Christ, through the new covenant with the blood and the body. The blood represents. I can't hear you online. You need to be louder. The blood represents. The body represents. The body represents. So you cannot separate those two in the scripture. So if you believe it's always God's will to forgive, you have to always believe it's God's will to heal. You cannot separate them. The church world has. The religious world has. They make excuses for God. Well, God will heal you when you get to heaven. Well, God will guide the hand of the doctor. Listen, I believe that everything that thwarts sickness, the word thwart means pushes away sickness, is good. That's good. Do I believe doctors are bad? No. Do I believe medicine is bad? No. But they are still not the great physician. There's one physician. Can doctors heal and help? Listen, there are preachers that are out there that actually preach that doctors are demonic. And I remember a man telling me that. And I said, the very first time that I saw a man who was in a tractor accident at 8 years old, he was in his 30s, and in that tractor accident at 8 years old, it destroyed his elbow, and his elbow, he could never move his arm. It was just like this all the time. And that doctor took a cadaver, and took the piece here, cut the man who was alive piece here, put in the cadaver's portion, and fused it together, and that man had a working elbow. You can never see that and say there isn't a doctor. That doctors are evil is not a truth. God will use doctors. But what's happened is in America, we have so many doctors, that, which is a good thing, we have progressed so far that we see very few miracles. We see few miracles because more people put their faith in the doctors than they do in Jesus. Like doctors, Luke was a doctor. But our faith goes into Jesus Christ first. Now, why do we see so many miracles in other countries? Well, they don't have doctors. They don't have many doctors, so they have to trust God. When Reinhard Bonnke, has anybody ever heard of Reinhard Bonnke? Reinhard Bonnke, powerful man of the Spirit. He's not loud. He's not boisterous. He's from Germany, I believe. He stand up. He have a crowd of 500,000 people. There's no way for him to pray for all those folks. And he'll just speak in the name of Jesus. I release the miracle power of God. And I command miracles to happen. And all of a sudden, people are jumping out of wheelchairs and crutches are flying in the air. Blind eyes are open. Deaf ears are being able to hear. Bodies are coming into alignment. Pieces are growing. God does miracles because he's a miracle God. But all those people put more faith in believing from the Lord because they don't have the privilege of having as many doctors. We are blessed almost to a curse in America. And the pastors, it falls right on the preachers, everybody. Falls right on the preachers. Preachers are not preaching the truth. They're usually preaching one-third truth. That is that Jesus will wash every sin away. They forget about healing, and they forget about the curse of poverty. And we've got to preach the whole gospel, not part of the gospel. I refuse to stand before God and say, I only preached one-third. And you yourself have to be a person that has a tenacity within your spirit that you will refuse to accept anything but the whole gospel. Because you can go, and the Bible says in the last days there'll be men with itching ears. They'll go tickling ears. They just want to have their ears tickled. They just want to feel good. They go to church. The preacher will say their nice little antidote, and off they go and do their little thing. You know, in today's Christianity, it's easy to get in and out. You can go to any church that's seeker sensitive and do an hour service. You're in, you're out, in, out, in, out. And it's almost like just herding cattle and everybody fulfilling a religious need. But I'm not here to fill a religious need. I'm here to share the gospel of Christ, which is the power of God unto salvation. You and I deserve to have the full covenant that Christ cut on Calvary's tree so that we can live in victory while we're here on earth. And that means you must have an understanding. You cannot separate the blood and the body. You cannot separate what Christ has done on Calvary. And because of that, you have the right. Everybody say, I've got the right. Somebody said to me, you can't make God do anything. You don't have to make God do the covenant. He paid for it already. He gave his great son for that already. It's already done. In fact, when you're healed today, you're not healed today. You were healed 2,000 years ago. You appropriated it today. If you got saved tonight, you weren't saved tonight. You were saved your blood. Jesus paid for your sins to be washed away 2,000 years ago. You just appropriated or took a hold of it and you applied it to your life. And it's time for us to get a tenacity in the spirit to say that I believe it's always God's will to heal. But I knew Aunt Lucy. She was the sweetest lady in the world. And she believed and she died. Why did she die? I mean, does God not like her? God needed another angel in heaven. God don't need another angel in heaven. He needs workers on earth. And the scripture is very clear why some people die before their time. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we're talking about communion. He says, people do not discern the Lord's body. What does it mean to discern? Understand. They do not comprehend. the Lord's body. What's the body represent? Oh, you're kind of slow tonight, aren't you? Am I talking too slow? Am I talking too fast? Come on, I just want to read it to you. Verse 27. Therefore, who eats this bread and drinks this cup in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the blood and the body of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat and drink of the cup. And he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Watch this. For this reason, what reason? Not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak, which means sick. Many are weak and sick, and many sleep. The word sleep there means dead. People that die before their time because they do not discern the Lord's body. And that, again, falls on the bridge of the preachers. It won't be here. Amen? You have a choice to believe it any way you want, but you're going to get the medicine here. Amen? The medicine is what you got to have. Some of you take medicine, and I remember a doctor wrote me a script one time, and I looked at it, and first of all, I couldn't understand their writing, and that's why when I became a doctor, I made sure that I made my name illegible as well. Wrote a script, and I looked at the name of the script, and I did not know what that was. But I took it. We put so much faith, and there's nothing wrong with medicine. I'm not telling you medicine's evil. I'm not telling you doctors are evil. But I'm telling you that we've got to put our faith in Jesus first. Amen? Amen. Doctors, God will use a doctor. Awesome. God will use, well, actually, he doesn't use a lot of medicine. Only 1% of all medications have any healing ointment to them at all. That's not a lot. It's 99% of them are masks. So there's a need to know the principles that are in front of us. And as a believer, it's so much easier to put our faith in a doctor, again, not against doctors, put our faith in a doctor who we can see, but not put our faith in Christ who we cannot see. We've got to get back to the beginning, and that is, what are my covenant rights? And if you know your covenant rights, you have the right to stand on that. Now, my wife, as you know, was diagnosed with cancer last year. And let me tell you, your faith is theory until it's tested. So she was diagnosed with cancer. We have pictures that show the cancer. We have the diagnoses with the cancer after the tests. And we had a choice. We could put our faith in the doctor. And let me tell you something. It would have been very hard to put our faith in that doctor. That doctor was telling us that she was going to be never the same again. He was going to cut this. He was going to cut that. She will never be normal. Blah, 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 blah. And I was like, okay, we got a serious problem just with the doctor. So I made a decision that we had to make a choice. Are we going to put our faith in that, or are we going to put our faith in Jesus? Now, we preach healing. Do we believe in healing? So your faith is not proven until it starts to be tested. Now, when you start putting your faith in the Word of God, it doesn't mean you're going to get a miracle. Everybody knows the difference between a miracle, right, and a healing. A miracle is an instantaneous working of God. It means you need no faith. It is an automatic, boom, it is done. But a healing is a progressive move of God. And many times we ask God for a miracle because we're really good Americans. We like the instantaneous. Can I hear an amen? We want it now, and we want it our way. But many times, and not always, we've seen many miracles in this church. Jody's a miracle. How many people have received a miracle from God in this church at some point in time or in your life? How many of you have gotten a miracle before? Look at all the hands up. My cousin Wayne, I was Karina's brother. He works over at Ferrario Ford. When he was a young man, he went to the doctor, and his son didn't even know this when I was talking about it one day in the garage. And Wayne had one leg 2 inches shorter than the other. And he went to a chiropractor, but the chiropractor was born again. He started praying over Wayne's foot, and literally the bone grew out 2 inches, and he never needed to go back. He was perfectly, miraculously healed. I've seen every kind of miracle there is. Honestly, I've seen blind eyes open, deaf ears. I had a man in Winchendon, Massachusetts, actually, who had a metal plate in his head after a car accident, deaf in one ear, and God opened his ear up right there in the service, was able to hear. We have a lady in this church. She has had her ear stopped up when she was a child. They took out all of the guts of her ear, took them all out, and then they put in other flesh to fill the hole. And so that she wouldn't keep getting infections or anything like that. They literally closed it up. And God opened her ear right here in this church. I believe it was when Charles Endefine was in the house. And she was able to hear, with this ear plugged, she was able to hear all the way him backstage speaking. We've seen people that have been on breathing machines 24 hours a day. God heals them, and there's no more need for it. Sunday, there was Kirkendall was healed. I've lost his first name. Alan Kirkendall was healed. He had 7 bulging discs in his back. Absolute agony on Sunday, pain going down his leg. 2 or 3 of the brethren laid hands on them, released the power of God, and he felt fire go down through his back, down through his leg, and he's had no more pain since that day. It's not because there's a special magical person that comes into the house. It's because you have a covenant with God. When you understand your covenant, it's not that it's going to have an instantaneous. It's not that it's going to be even always easy to get your miracle, to get your healing. Because you got to fight the flesh. Sometimes you got to tell your brain to shut up and allow the Holy Ghost to start speaking. Amen. I'll say that for myself. There we go. Okay? So it's important that we recognize that it is always, how many times? Always God's will to heal. Now, why are people sick if it's not God's will for them to be sick? Number one, we live in a fallen world. Where did sickness come from? Where did it first appear? At the curse. Where did the curse come from? Yeah, where did the curse come from? When did it activate in the world? After the garden. Yep, they got sent out of the garden. Remember what happened? The curse was powerful because the curse, at that moment, their intimacy with God changed. Yes? Remember God said, where are you? It's not that God didn't know where they were physically. God knows all things. So where? What was he crying out? Where were they? Because he was missing them in intimacy already. Because he could never have the same intimate relationship with them until their sins were washed away and not covered. Remember Old Testament, Old Covenant? Sins were covered, not washed away. It wasn't until Jesus that sins were washed away and are no longer seen. Very important. So here we are. We've got to recognize that this principle, this covenant, is important because of the loss that Adam and Eve did. Sickness came into the garden or came into man's life after the garden. Man's bodies were actually created to live forever. Was it Methuselah? Didn't he live to like 900 and some odd years old? You just got to wonder how wrinkly he was, you know? That's what I wonder. Were they wrinkly? I mean, did they come out good? I mean, how did they have to press themselves? You know, what did they do? Steam? Yeah, oh, man. Yeah, I mean, come on now. You got to imagine how much wisdom that guy had, you know what I mean? He was smart. So here we are. You know, sin came into a place because of, sickness came into place because of sin. But Jesus broke that curse. The first Adam brought death, but the second Adam brought life. And so many believers will use Adam's sin as their excuse for not being healed. We've got to take an aggressive posture. Now, I know there are preachers out there who are pretty stupid, and they've hurt a lot of people. I remember there was a pastor in Worcester, Massachusetts. There was a young boy, I believe he was 12 or 13 years old, in a wheelchair. And the pastor said, today you're going to get out of that wheelchair. He started praying over that boy, and the boy did not get out of the wheelchair. And he looked and he says, there's sin in your life, isn't there? And destroyed that whole family. Listen, what we do know is this, is that if it's a miracle, it's instantaneous. If it's a healing, let's look at Abraham. How long did it take Abraham to get his miracle of promise? 10 years. It's a long time. How many of you would wait that long? Well, let's talk about it. Romans chapter 4. Turn there real quick. Romans chapter 4. Verse 19, and not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully convinced, I love that verse. Being fully convinced that what he had been promised, he was able to perform. So you see, Abraham, he did not turn from the promise of God, no matter how long it took. Now, many of us, and we've been trained this way because of churches. Well, it must not be the Lord's will. I didn't get anything. I'm trying to remember if it was R.W. Shambach or A.A. Allen had somebody come to their meeting and said, well, I've gone to T.L. Osborne. I've gone and listed off all the Voice of Healing ministers. Now it's your turn. Everyone that's prayed for me, I've got nothing. And the evangelist looked and says, you're full of the devil. Go sit down. You got no faith. What it was they were just depending upon somebody to pull off a miracle instead of activating their own faith. But what I see here is Abraham had faith in God. He was fully convinced that what God promised, he was able to perform. But you see, you cannot be convinced unless you know the word. For faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The moment my wife was diagnosed with cancer, yes, we had a firm foundation. Yes, we knew what we believed. But what we had to do at that very moment was start infusing. It's almost like getting an IV, right? Direct flood into your blood, into your spirit, man. We started listening to F.F. Bosworth's book, Christ the Healer. And we read that, listened to it. We ate it every day. We read it more than once a day. Well, why did we do that? Because the mind wants to say you're going to die. The mind wants to say, your flesh wants to say you're not going to make it. The flesh wants to say there is no cure. You're going to get cut up and you're not going to make it. But watch, the Spirit of God says that by his stripes you were healed 2,000 years ago. So now you've got to take what Christ did on Calvary's tree and apply it to your life today. And that in and of itself, the warfare has nothing to do with the sickness. The warfare has to do with the mind. That's why we've got to bring into captivity every thought and imagination that would raise itself up against God. And we've got to say, I am fully convinced. You can't be fully convinced unless you're convinced. That means you've got to be a person that can't wait till sickness comes into your life to prepare yourself. You've got to get your foundation right now. I always liken it unto this. You know, colds are going on really big right now. You know, colds. People getting sick. It'd be almost like the day you got sick, you took 7,000 milligrams of vitamin C. Well, I'm going to kick this out of my body. 7,000 milligrams of vitamin C. What happens? You get diarrhea. You don't wait till you get sick to start pumping yourself with vitamin C and vitamins and minerals. You start strengthening your immune system by being consistent with it all the way through. And this is where, as the sons and daughters of God, we've got to look at the covenant of God and say, listen, I'm not going to wait till sin starts knocking on my door to be prepared to know that I am more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus my Lord, to know that no sin is stronger than me, to know that every sin has been broken by the power of Jesus' name, that I am not a slave to sin any longer, right? We don't wait till sin comes knocking on the door to prepare ourselves. We prepare beforehand. And it's the same with sickness. You don't wait till you get sick to start pumping yourself with healing verses. You better get your foundation solid. And so we started infusing. We already knew our foundation. We already knew what we believed. We already believed the report of the Lord. And let me tell you, if you think there's no battle, that's a lie. You have got to stay focused, and you've got to bring your flesh into subjection, and you've got to keep speaking the word, and you've got to keep rebuking the enemy. Because the enemy will have no problem telling you you're going to die. The enemy will have no problem telling you there is no hope. The enemy will tell you there's no, don't worry about it. God's not going to heal you. You're going to die. And we had to stay focused, speaking the word, not having people around us who wouldn't speak the word. We didn't tell people for a long time. Nobody. We told our kids because we know what we've taught them. I love what my daughter said. Oh, she's fine. The report didn't say she was fine. Pictures didn't say she was fine. So how can my daughter say that? Because she's been taught since she's a little girl. It's always God's will to heal. And so she just put her faith in that direction. And you know, as the reports came in, y'all know the reports, you've seen the reports. First report was that she had cancer. Doctor showed us where it was. He was very kind, very nice. We went for more biopsies. The pictures came back, and it was ugly. Not just bad, ugly. Nasty ugly. So bad ugly that they actually the doctor tattooed what needed to be taken out. Took me while she was in recovery after the biopsies and showed me all the cancerous lymph nodes and showed me all the little tumors that were sticking out all through that portion, and then showed me this big black area that he had tattooed to take out. Now, we had a choice at that moment. We could look at that picture and say, that's just the way it is. Or we could look at that picture and say that by his stripes we are healed, and we refuse to accept any other report but the report of the Lord. And you know what? When that report came back, you know what the report said? The report said there was no cancer in there. That doctor could not understand what was going on, because when he left me, he said, good luck. Well, the pictures were definitive. But the report was wrong, because we chose to believe the report of the Lord. So the doctor called, actually the doctor's assistant, the doctor said, call Rhonda and tell her she doesn't have cancer. And he was a man that does not believe in miracles, does not believe in the power of God, does not believe in God. And the his helper, what do they call him? PA. He said, the PA said, you call her. The doctor had to call Rhonda and say, we don't understand, but there is no cancer in your body. We know what the pictures look like. We know what the colonoscopy doctor said, but we don't understand. There's no cancer. And my wife said, I told you I was healed. And he said, well, you're going to have to prove that to me. I need you to come back in, and I want to do four more sets of three in biopsies, because there's no way that cancer is gone from your body. Once you have cancer, you always have cancer. No problem, doctor. Prove all that you got to prove. Poke me, stick me, cut me any way you got to, but you'll find that I have no more cancer in my body. We went back to the doctor. They did the sets of biopsies. The pictures came back, and in 6 days, it was a brand new colon. All those little lymph nodes that were swollen, they called little tumors, even where he tattooed. The tattoo was only a little dot. The black was all gone. And it was perfectly formed colon. And the reports came back, no cancer. Well, how is that possible? Well, you're special. You're the pastors. You're special people, and that's why God. No, I'm a child of God. I didn't take this because we didn't grab a hold of a miracle and this healing because we're pastors. You're not a pastor any longer when you get a diagnosis. You took the right medicine. He's no respecter of persons. If he'll do it for one, he'll do it for all. So we've got to wrap ourselves around this, because we've excused God away from our miracle, away from our healing. And we've attached ourselves to good religion, but bad Bible. We've got to get back to the Word of God. Well, I haven't had any manifestation yet. Well, then stay firm. Stand firm. After you've done all you can do to stand, stand firm. Stand therefore. Do not bend. Do not turn from the right to the left. Listen, if the doctors are helping you, praise the Lord. But ultimately, man, it's time to lay hold of the promises of God. Amen or oh my in the room. So why are people sick? Well, you know, there's a lot of people, a lot of reasons people are sick. Some people are sick because of sin. It's not a lot of people sick because of sin. Somebody asked me just the other day, hey, pastor, I have a friend of mine who's sick. They're not born again. If we pray for them, will God heal them? And the answer is yes. God heals people that are not saved. The problem is they've got to get saved, or a sin worse than the last one will come upon them. We see this in John chapter 5, verse 12 through 24. Excuse me, 12 through 14. And they asked Jesus, who is the man who said to you, take up your bed? Oh, excuse me. And they asked the man, who is the man who said to you, take up your bed and walk? But the one who was healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn, a multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus saw him in the temple and said to him, see, you have been made well. sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. Jesus warned him to stop sinning, lest a greater sickness comes upon them. So God does heal people that aren't born again. We had a woman in our last church. We had Brother Ted Shuttlesworth come. He was preaching the gospel. It was powerful. Place was packed out. It only sat 80. There was 130 in the room. And this one woman brought her old aunt. She was like in her low 90s, high 80s. Yeah, I mean, and she was up there. And she was stone deaf. Stone deaf. They convinced her to come to church. In the middle of the sermon, not praying for people, he sent his word to heal them. In the middle of his sermon, all of a sudden she shouted, "What did he do to me?" Well, of course, everything stopped. She says, "I can hear. What did he do to me? What happened?" And right in the middle of the sermon, he sent his word to heal. Her ears popped open. They asked her to be saved, and she said no. By the time she got to her car in the parking lot, she was stone deaf again. I'm a witness. I was there. Not a story. I was there. So you see, it's important to know that God wants to make sure that you get sin out of your life. Well, why is sin so deadly? This is an easy one. The wages of sin is death. Not just death spiritually. Man, I don't know about you, but I've been looking at, I'm 50 years old now. Well, I'm kind of young. And yeah, thank you. I was looking at my yearbook, then looking at the hot girls in the yearbook, and then looking on Facebook. Ain't hot no more. I saw some guys on there that honestly, I mean, they're my age. They look 60. They look rough, real rough. And I'm thinking, boy, I'm still pretty hot. Sin will age you. Sin will age you. The Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 28, 58 through 61, if the Israelites would not obey the word of the Lord, then the Lord would allow them to be afflicted with plagues, diseases of the Egyptians. If you study that, you will see a whole list of sicknesses and diseases in Deuteronomy 28. You know how we quote it? I'm blessed going in. I'm blessed. But first, what did my wife always say when you get quoted? If I obey, I'm blessed going in and I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed in my storehouse. And I'm blessed in my basket. The blessings are gonna, they're gonna, because I'm blessed. Come on now. But listen now, let's just turn there to Deuteronomy chapter 28. Oh, it goes all the way back. It's a whole, let me see. Strike you in the knees, legs, severe boils. I'm going down through the list as quickly as I can. Your vineyards will collapse. Your animals will be sick. You'll have tumors, scabs from the itch, madness, blindness, confusion of heart. Let me see. Oppressed, plundered. Your betrothed wife will lay with another. Let me see. And here it is. But if you, verse 15 of Deuteronomy 28. Okay, yeah. But it shall come to pass, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. Cursed shall you be in the city, cursed shall you be in the country, cursed shall you be in your basket and your kneading bowl, cursed shall be the fruit of your body and the produce of your land and the increase of your cattle and the offspring of the flock, cursed shall you be coming in, cursed shall you be when you go out. That's just very encouraging, isn't it? Wow. But there is only one difference in criteria of reception, Now, I do want to remind you, because I really just want to find the part about, oh, there it is. The Lord will strike you with a consumption, with fever, inflammation, severe burning fever, a sword scorching mildew, and the inflammation is hemorrhoids. It really is. I personally would just rather obey. It really is. Because sin can cause sickness. When you're in sin, you open the door to the enemy of your soul. You have, he has a right to afflict you. Now, it says that God will not bring upon you, or God will bring upon you. And we need to validate what that actually means. I do have a writing. I'll pass them out next week. But what it actually means is not that God puts it on you. But remember, when you're in the covenant and obeying the Lord, you're under the umbrella of protection. But when you decide to disobey the Lord, the umbrella doesn't move. You step out from the umbrella. It's not that God is putting the curses on you, but he's going to allow the curses to come on you. You've chosen them for yourself. It's very important. God never moves the umbrella. It's always there. Obey him, and you'll be living in the first part of Deuteronomy 28. If you obey, if you disobey, if you choose sin, you're going just like this. I got this thing on myself. Your choice. So sin can produce sickness. Now listen, because somebody is sick does not mean they're in sin. Because there's other reasons why sickness are in people's lives. Another one is the improper care of body. Listen, a lot of Christians like Ponderosa, or, you know, they like Old Country Buffet, where they buffet their body for Jesus. You know, they go to the Chinese buffet, they walk around, and they weigh 26 pounds more. Listen, you've got to take care of your body. The Bible says physical exercise profiteth little. It doesn't say it doesn't profit much or anything. You've got to take care of your body. It is the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are one of the only nations that do not practice fasting on a normal basis. Fasting is very healthy for you. One day a week is very healthy. It cleanses you. The book I was reading dealing with fasting, long-term fasting, actually they say the shortest fast you should do is 10 days. The shortest? Shortest fast is 10 days. At 10 days, your body starts actually replenishing itself, starts fixing itself, starts healing itself. This last year, I did elongated fast, and my kidneys were just kicking for 5 days. Why was that? I had so much toxin in my body, and I was just purging it with so much water, my kidneys were mad, just mad. After 5 days, really, it would be easy to do 10. And after 10, it's a breeze to do. His suggestion was always to do at least a 20 to 30-day fast. And that you actually, when you start researching it, and even if you do a Daniel fast, after 2 months, I believe it's 2 months to 3 months of doing a Daniel fast, your cells will actually replace themselves. In the old days, it was fasting was actually used to heal physical bodies. So fasting is very important. American church is one of the only ones that doesn't fast on a normal basis. Well, because we like to eat. Can I hear an amen? I like to eat. I mean, tonight I had a steak. It was medium. And I didn't have any fixings with it. I just wanted the steak. And I ate that steak, and it was very tasty, very juicy. And I made sure I sucked out all the blood and the juice as I'm chewing it. And the flavor was exquisite. And I had a great steak. I am not going to forget that steak because I enjoyed it so much. I like food. But sometimes we like food too much. And we've got to learn to fast. You've got to take care of your physical body. You cannot expect. I had a pastor I used to work for. He was on a diet. So we would go to Ponderosa. And, yeah, they don't have them much around here. Do they still have the one in Bath?
No.
Do they?
I don't think so.
No, do they have it? Did they finally get rid of it? Well, anyways. He would go and he would get three, not, you know how they have the plates. He would not get three plates of salad, but three plates of salad with all the fixings. You know what I mean? He wouldn't have any of the other stuff, but he would have three full plates. He says, yeah, I'm on a diet. I'm taking care of myself. Oh, come on, LD. You're not taking care of yourself. You're going to die, boy. You're going to die. And you know, it's important to know you've got to take care of yourself. You've got to exercise. God did not create our bodies to be sediment. God created us to move. We've got to move. Americans don't move. Listen, you need to exercise. This is not exercise. You've got to exercise.
Are there other religions, though, besides Christianity, where fasting?
All of them demand it. Yeah. Muslim, demand it. Mm-hmm. Buddhists, demand it. Native Americans, demand it. Mm-hmm. All of them demand. They demand fasting. Americans outside of America, Christians outside of America. Did you fast often in Nigeria?
Yes.
Normal. American churches just don't fast. Well, it was very normal to do three-day fasts. Eh? Very normal to do three-day fasts. Very normal.
Just water.
It's healthy for you. What happens is your body starts to get mad at you because your flesh has never been told no before. In fact, the three most powerful men in the Bible are the only ones that fasted 40 days. Who were they? Jesus. That was a good guess, Sir Paul. Thank you. Jesus. Moses. Elijah. Three most powerful men in the Bible fasted 40 days. It's time to fast. Listen, you got to take care of your body. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 25 says, we must exercise self-control in all things. All things. Yeah, that was a really funny one. Where I pastored last, there was a gentleman who was on my board, and he was driving down the road with the previous pastor. He had just gotten saved. His name was Norman. He had just gotten saved. He was in his late 50s, and he's driving down the road. This is Amy Bishop's dad, by the way. Driving down the road, and the preacher looked at Norman and said, Norm, when you quit smoking, God will use you. Norm looked at the pastor and said, Pastor, when you stop being a glutton, God will use you too. Honestly, guys, we've got to take care of ourselves. You must exercise. Just because you're thin doesn't mean you shouldn't exercise. Guys with good metabolisms, it's not fair. You still got to exercise. You still got to keep your body in shape. When I was in really good shape, I used to scuba dive. And I had what was called athlete's asthma. You know what that is? I was fat. I wasn't really fat on the outside, but I didn't exercise, so I wasn't in shape. My lungs wouldn't expand properly. And so even though I was thin, I wasn't in good shape. You need to get in good shape. You've got God's temple. You need to keep it in shape. Amen?
Amen.
Now I have a shape, but I'm trying to get it in shape. Amen? You need to watch what you eat. Some people are sick not just because of overeating. Listen, you can't eat 500 hamburgers and have your heart blow up and blame the devil. Amen? You got to be careful. There are people that are sick and wounded today because of accidents. Wasn't anything to do with them. They got hit by a car. They had an accident. Something happened. And they need God's healing. So just because somebody's sick does not mean that they have sin in their life. Does not mean they didn't take care. They might have been in an accident. We had a man in that was being prayed for. He had a very bad back. And what happened was he was once lifting a refrigerator by himself. Duh. And he blew his back. And he'd been in agony for years. Hands were laid on him, and God healed his back. He wasn't sick because he overate. He wasn't sick because he didn't take care of his body. He wasn't sick because he had sin. He was sick because he lifted a refrigerator. Duh. Lifted a refrigerator by himself and blew his back. But God will still heal him. Listen now. So these are reasons. People are born sick. Some people have sickness in their physical body, and they're born with it. We find that in John chapter 9, verses 1 through 3. Now, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus said, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but the works of God should be revealed in him." So listen now. It's not that some people are born sick. It's just what it is. And God will heal them. One of the most cool miracles that I have personally seen and was used with was in Long Island. And I was down preaching this church. And there was a woman who came up front. I had a word of knowledge that someone's right shoulder was in absolute agony. And I explained exactly where the pain was, how it moved, because that's how the word of knowledge works with me. I can actually tell you where the pain is. I can tell you what it feels like. I can tell you where the shooting, I can tell you everything about it. And so I called out the word of knowledge, and a woman came up front. And she came up front. I don't have a pen. Does anybody have a pen I can borrow? She's closer. I'm sorry. Came up front with a pen in her hand like this. And I prayed for her shoulder, and I had her move her shoulder. We worked a miracle, and God completely set her shoulder free. And I looked at her, I says, "What's wrong with your hand?" She said, "Well, this is a birth defect. I've never been able to move my arm here." She said, "It's in my shoulder, and I've never been able to move anything. It's just frozen. That's just what it is." So I said, "Well, if God can heal your right shoulder, God can heal your left shoulder." And so I laid hands on her in the name of Jesus. Now this shoulder here, the right shoulder, was a miracle. But when I laid hands on her left, she walked out that night the very same way she walked in. Still a pen in her hand. The next night, she came back to church. And when she came back to church, she accidentally reached up and she went to the wrong parking lot, actually. And she reached up without thinking and shifted with her left. Freaked herself out. Came into church dancing all over the place. She said, I don't understand. She says, "I didn't even think about it. I just reached up and shifted my car." That's when it was on the column. So it must have been the right hand, whatever. Shifted, first time she ever shifted. Automatic, supernatural. Came in that church, jumping all over the place. A man got all upset because she was dancing too much. And I said, "If your arm was healed, you've been dancing too." And it was just an awesome miracle. But her one shoulder was a miracle. The other shoulder was a healing. Prayed for a woman in northern Maine, in Rockland, Maine. She had crossed eyes and she had diabetes. Laid hands on her in the name of Jesus. She left with crossed eyes. And I don't know whether the diabetes had left at that moment or not. I don't know if she had a miracle or not. But she got up the next morning, tested her diabetes, and it was clear. And when she looked in the mirror, her eyes were uncrossed. She went to the doctor. Doctor freaked out just like she did. Miracles are normal. Had another lady in Cortland, New York. She had breast cancer. I guess the tumors were large enough that you could simply and easily feel them. Very large, already diagnosed, already proven to be cancerous. They were getting ready to do a mastectomy on both sides. And so I of course, didn't lay hands on her breast. I said, "Why don't you lay hands on your breast?" I laid hands on her head, released the power of God, and I said, "Now go back to the bathroom and feel for the tumors." She went back to the bathroom, and the tumors were gone. She came running in, shouting and dancing, and the report, you know, of course, they found no more tumors. God healed her. So, you know, it's important to recognize that some people get sickness on their body just because we live on this planet. But no matter why you're sick, no matter what has happened in your life, God wants to heal you. Two amens would have been better. Okay. Sometimes people are sick because of bad habits. Some people have cancer because they've smoked for 25 years. I have a brother-in-law who died because he chewed tobacco. Doctor looked at him and said, "I've got to cut half of your tongue off because you chewed tobacco." Just talking to a guy the other day, and his friend had his entire jaw taken out from here to here. Why? Doctor looked at him and says, "You chewed tobacco. You smoke, you get cancer. You drink, your liver dies." I mean, sometimes we have bad habits. Some people are sick because of bad habits. No matter what your habit is, you got to get rid of it because no habit has a right to be in your body. "Well, I can't break it." That's a lie. You can't break it, but Jesus can break it. Amen? I've seen people delivered right instantaneously from cigarettes, from 20 years of alcoholism. I have a cousin, 20 years plus of drinking, I think, I want to say a quart of, what was it? That's the big bottle, right? What's the big bottle?
That looks like a gallon.
It's a big bottle. It was a quart. A quart of, what was that stuff that doesn't smell? A quart of vodka. He would drink one every other day. 20 years. And when he got saved, he was delivered from that instantaneously. Didn't have a DT, nothing. Completely set free. That's not possible. I want you to know that you've got to make a decision that bad habits, sin, cannot be part of your life. You've got to. It's part of why we have the right to be made whole. Amen. Some people are sick because of demon possession or possession. Demons can cause sickness. I was in northern Maine, and I was praying for a man. I was in Skowhegan, Maine, actually. And a man, I had a word of knowledge about a back injury, a back problem. It was on this side of the back. And I said, and I explained where the pain was. I explained what it felt like, explained the whole thing. God gave me great detail in it. Man raised his hand, came forward. I rebuked the pain in the name of Jesus. I want to remind you that Jesus never once prayed for a sick person. The closest he came to praying for a sick person was Lazarus when he said, "Father, that they may know we are one." But Jesus always spoke to this sickness. He never prayed for the Father to fix it. He spoke to it, and it had to obey. So I spoke to this sickness, and the back pain left, but it went from here to here. And I said, "Huh." I said, "In the name of Jesus, I command the pain to leave your side." And it went to here. And I said, "Well, that's simple. That's just a demon." So I reached over and I said, "This is as far as you go, out." And he was completely healed. Demons will cause sickness. When you study the voice of healing ministers, the one thing you'll find is there's certain sicknesses. Any sickness that has life, that brings death, they always considered it diabolical. They always considered cancer has a diabolical root to it. So when these guys, and many of them, one, I believe, gentleman's name was Roberts. He was in Europe and in Africa. It was proven that everybody he prayed for cancer was healed. And what he would pray is he would always curse and command the demon, giving life to the cancer to come out. Then he would command the cells that had turned to be healed and to become normal, not death-producing. And then whatever had been deteriorated, he commanded the flesh to be renewed. Phenomenal miracles. So when you study the voice of healing, guys, every one of them believe that cancer was always a demon spirit. And I'm telling you, I never pray any other way. If a person has cancer, I believe without question that a demon has caused, it's a demon oppression, a demonic spirit causing sickness in a person's body. And we take divine authority over that. Now, then you still need healing because it deteriorates and breaks down portions of the body. But we always take it in that factor. Cataracts, they always consider that a demon spirit. I was in, actually, it was Jaffrey, New Hampshire. There was a woman with cataract on her eyes. I reached up. I cursed the spirit of blindness because Jesus always prayed against spirit of blindness. I commanded the spirit of blindness to come off her eyes, and right there, right in front of me, the cataract came off her eyes. My wife had a woman right here in this church, about no more than 3 months ago, had cataract on her eyes. Prayed for her in the name of Jesus right at the altar. The cataract came right off her eyes. There's no question. I also believe arthritis is always and has a demonic spirit to it. Certain sicknesses, you'll always find that when you do studies, that these voice of healing, who had the greatest miracles in the 1900s, they always focused on specific ones as being diabolical. And they had such great success, I refuse to believe anything else. Why? Because if they didn't do it, and if it didn't work, then it had been foolishness. Yes?
Do you believe all mental illness?
I do not believe all mental illness is demonic, but I believe that most of the mental illness that we're seeing in America today definitely is diabolical. the amounts of depression that we're seeing today, there are more antidepressants issued in New York State than there are people. And what's happened is people get into depression, which is the opposite of faith called fear. And the enemy will take advantage of your thoughts. Now, there are definitely people that have mental illness. It means their brains aren't firing properly, and God can heal the brain. So whether you need healing or deliverance, there are people without question. Whenever you know that you've gone from fear to phobia, phobia is always the entryway for a demonic spirit. Well, why is that? Well, fear is the opposite of faith. When fear turns into phobia, it now controls your life. Agoraphobia, anybody knows what that is? Prayed for a woman in Orange, Massachusetts one time. She had stayed in her house for 5 years, afraid of crowds. She walked in. She stayed in the back of the sanctuary, wouldn't come up front. While she was standing there, the Spirit of God told me what was going on. After service, she came forward, and she made sure everybody else was gone in the church, and she was scared to death. And I looked at her, I said, in the name of Jesus, I command you, foul spirit, to come off her, and I command you to let her go in Jesus' name. You spirit of fear, you tormenting devil, I adjure you to get out in the name of Christ. And at that moment, she was set free. She never again dealt with that issue. Phobias are always demonic. I got to get going. I won't have time. We'll just stop there. I'll get back to demon possession and oppression next week. Anybody have any questions? It's good stuff, isn't it?
Yeah.
Now, listen, this should only take me 1 week to go through this class. I take 3 weeks. Why? Because it's not taught enough. And many of you have been taught badly. And you need to have your minds washed. The only way to wash it is with the word. So I would encourage everybody in this room, I have some homework for you. If I said, yahoo! Here's your homework. I want you to go to YouTube, and I want you to listen to Christ the Healer by F.F. Bosworth. F.F. Bosworth, B-O-S-W-O-R-T-H. F.F. Bosworth, Christ the Healer. It's right on YouTube, and it's free. They'll read the book to you. Yeah, free's good. And they read it to you. You don't have to read.
You just have to know how to get
onto YouTube. That's my mother. Yes.
No, I'm saying me too.
Really? You don't know how either?
No.
The girls will show you. I'll have to show my mother. But watch. This is your homework for this week. I want you to listen to that entire book. They'll read it to you. You can listen to it. Turn off the TV for an hour. Yeah, turn off the TV for an hour. It's not helping you anyways. Turn it off and listen to F.F. Bosworth. And what it is, it's his son actually reading the book to you that his father wrote. That book right there, you cannot walk away without your faith scratching heaven. You can't. It's not possible. Not possible. So that's your homework for the week. Is that fair? Everybody who doesn't do it, you owe me $100. Amen? Jeez, it's got rich here. All right, let's do it this way. Ready? Everybody who doesn't do it owes me $10. Is that fair? If you don't listen to it, you owe me $10. Now, don't skip class because you owe me $10. Huh? Watch. You can work.
I will watch it, though.
Listen to it. You don't even have to watch it. You just have to listen to it. There's nothing to watch. All it is reading a book. They're reading the book to you. Now, watch. Someone said to me, I don't have time. I mentioned this today in leadership. Your time is seed. What you do with the same 24 hours that I have is your choice. Your harvest is determined by the seed you plant. So you have a choice. If football was on till midnight, some of you would stay up till midnight to watch football. But you won't take the time to listen to the book. That just shows me you don't want a harvest. To get a harvest, you have to plant seed.
I was wondering, does YouTube work where like you could listen to 4 chapters and then come back another time?
Yes. And actually, this will go develop from 1 chapter to the next. You don't even need to touch anything. It goes the entire thing automatic. And when you pause it, you can come right back and pick it up. You can tell she's never been on YouTube, just like my mama.
And I have the book, I want it to you.
Right, she has a book, you can read it. All right, so here we are. We have an offering. We receive an offering at every class. Remember, don't come to the King's house without something to give. It's not like you got to give $5 billion, but if you want to, billion is B-I-L-L-I-O-N. If you're online watching, you need to get off and you need to hit the give button. Everyone needs to give. This is something you want to get used to. You always want to give when you come to the King's house. It has nothing to do with amounts. It has to do with you always come with a gift. Always come to the King's house with a gift. I love you. Be blessed. Serve God with all of your heart. And make sure you do your homework, because if you don't, you owe me $10.